come, walk with me. Our talk today is taking a lesson from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 34. We're going to read that. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, and he was there alone, but the ship that was now in the midst of the sea was tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to Jesus, to go to Jesus. And when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they were in the ship and came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And then they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. To understand this lesson that Jesus was giving, we're first going to look at the events that lead up to the walking on the water. Then we'll look at what happens to the disciples while they row to the land of Gennesaret. Next, we will look at the lesson that Jesus intended for Peter. And then lastly, we will look at a surprise ending of this event. So let's start with the event that leads up to the time in which Jesus tells his disciples to get into a boat and to row over to the land of Gennesaret. In Matthew 4, verses 18 through 25, Jesus has asked Peter, Andrew, James, and John to follow him. In verses 23 and 24, we get an insight into the things that they observe Jesus do. So Matthew 4, 23 and 24. "And Jesus went about all the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people, and they were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them." In Mark 1, chapter 1, verses 29 through 34, we'll read that. "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they went into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they were tell him of her. And he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and he cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Then in Mark 4, chapter 4, 34 through 41, Jesus gives his 12 disciples a lesson about faith. But without a parable spake he unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now on to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. In this case, Jesus casts devils into swine. Then Mark 5, 22 through 43, he raises his Jairus' daughter from the dead, and while on the way, he heals a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Then in Mark 6, verses 7 through 13, Jesus sends his 12 disciples out two by two. And we're going to read verses 7 and 13 here in Mark 6. And he came unto the 12 and began to send them forth by two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. Finally, Jesus feeds the 5,000, which is found in Matthew 14:14 through 22, and a parallel account is in Mark 6:35 through 44. And then sends disciples across the Sea of Galilee and goes up to a mountain to pray. At this point, his disciples have experienced an overwhelming number of miracles while walking with Jesus. Now we will look at Jesus sending the disciples away and what happens on the Sea of Galilee. They were to go to Bethsaida, which is in the same locality as Capernaum, which is on the western shore in the plains of Gennesaret. We're going to read Mark 6:45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent the people away. From Matthew 14:23 and Mark 6:47, and also found in John 6:16 and 17, it is seen that it was evening when Jesus sent his disciples off. The word evening or eve is Strong's 3798, which has the meaning of somewhere between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m., or it could mean from 6 p.m. to the beginning of the night. The first, by the Roman system at that time, they had broken down the evening into four watches. The first watch began at 6 p.m. and went to 9 p.m. The second watch went from 9 p.m. to midnight. The third from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. in the morning. And then the fourth from 3 a.m. in the morning to 6 a.m. From Matthew 14:15, The same word evening is used when feeding of the 5,000 people. In the parallel scripture in Mark 6:35, we can confirm that this occurred at the end of the Jewish day, which would make it sometime between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Then when this is done, the disciples are sent off and it is dark, and this is seen in John 6:16 and 17. And we'll read that. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over towards Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. The time that Jesus goes up to pray is during the first watch, which is between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Mark 6:47. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. As the disciples row, the conditions on the Sea of Galilee start to deteriorate. Since some of the disciples are seasoned sailors, they know how to handle the situation. They row against a headwind instead of turning back. In Matthew 14:24 and Mark 6:48, the word tossed or toiling is Strong's 928. And the word means to test metals by a touchstone. But it also has the meaning of to be harassed or distressed. Matthew 14:24. And the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Mark 6:48. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Did Jesus put his disciples to a test, just as he had earlier done with Philip in the feeding of the 5,000? This is John 5:5-7. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Philip's recognition of the problem that existed for the feeding of the 5,000 would later come back to be an admonishment from Jesus when he walks to them on the Sea of Galilee. Now the disciples were rowing from a place near the city of Bethsaida, which is on the northeast side of the Sea of Galilee, as seen in Luke 9:10. This town is usually called Bethsaida Julius, to differentiate it from the Bethsaida, which is on the west side of the Sea of Galilee. Luke 9:10. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into the desert belonging to the city called Bethsaida. They row in a westerly direction to Bethsaida, which is near Capernaum, which is on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, which is seen in Mark 6:45 and also in John 6:17. Mark 6:45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, where he sent away the people. John 6:17. And he entered into the ship and went over to the sea towards Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come unto them. They only have a distance of about 5 miles to row. But because the headwinds are contrary to them, they have been rowing anywhere from 6 to 12 hours at this time. This is seen in Mark 6:48, where Jesus comes to them in the fourth watch, sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Remember, they had left between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. In that time, they have rowed only about 3 or 4 miles, as seen in John 6:19. And we'll also read Mark 6:48. Mark 6:48. And he saw them toiling in rowing, and the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. John 6:19. And when they had rowed 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. They see Jesus walking on the water, and the disciples become afraid. The fear is not from the bad weather conditions. It's because they perceive a spirit walking towards them. Why did Jesus walk on the water? Why not just walk around the coast of Galilee? Why did Jesus just not calm the sea for the disciples like he did back in Matthew 8:26 and Mark 4:39? Jesus perceives their consternation as he's walking by and calls out to them in Matthew 14:27. Matthew 14:27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. The words that he uses are very insightful, especially with what occurs next. Peter decides to walk with the Lord on the water. The word good cheer is Strong's 2293, and it means to have confidence and firmness of purpose in the face of danger or testing, to be courageous. A few examples of this are found in Matthew 9:2 and verse 22 and John 16:33. Notice that it is through faith that one can be of good cheer. Matthew 9:2. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. John 16:33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The word afraid or fear here is Strong's 5399, and it means to fear, to be afraid, to be seized with fear, to shrink back from doing something. What better example of this can be found from Peter in 1 Peter 3:13 and 14. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." It is these two words, good cheer and afraid, that brings us to the third part of this study. Peter decides to walk on the water. He had the courage to get out of the boat and walk to the Lord. It does take courage to begin a journey. But faith is what it needs to be based upon. Faith is what will sustain us to finish the journey. Through Peter's lack of faith, he replaces his courage with fear. His solid foundation is passing away. He begins to sink while he's walking. Matthew 14:28-31. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked out on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the boisterous wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where didst thou doubt?" Peter sees Jesus walking on the troubled sea and wants to go out to the Master. In verse 28 of Matthew 14, Peter planned to walk to Jesus. Matthew 14:28. "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." The word "if" here is conditional, which expresses a condition of fact regarded as true. The word should be better translated here, "since." So what Peter is saying is, since it is you, bid me to come. Peter knows it is the Lord, and being of good cheer, has courage to come. In Matthew 14:29, Jesus says, "Come." And he said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship, and he walked on water to go to Jesus. The word "come" here is Strong's 2064, and it means to come from one place to another, but metaphorically, it means to follow one. Jesus wanted Peter to come and walk with him. Matthew 11:30. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Disciples would later understand more clearly when Jesus clarified what he meant by saying to come in Matthew 16:24. "Then Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Peter now walks on water. We do not know how far Peter went, but clearly he is within reach of Jesus. His doubt comes from the boisterous wind, as was seen in Matthew 14:30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." It is interesting in Matthew 14:24 that Peter already knows that the wind's blowing. He already knows that the waves are hindering their progress even before he sees Jesus. They had been struggling with this for many, many hours. So in verse 30, why is he suddenly concerned with the wind? The word saw here in Matthew 14:30 is Strong's 991, and it means to become aware of, to see, or to discern mentally. Peter's frame of mind has been changed. He is no longer in the boat where he has security. He has become aware that the wind outside of the shelter in which he's at is bothering him, and he begins to sink. It is interesting that he seems to have no problem with walking on the water on the big waves. But it's the wind that breaks his concentration. Why didn't he remember what happened earlier when Jesus rebuked the winds, rebuked the sea, and they became calm, as found in Matthew 8, 26 and 27? It's easy for me to stand here and say, why didn't Peter remember? But fear is debilitating. Even though Peter was probably a good swimmer, because he was a fisherman, he knew that he could not survive the current conditions of the sea. He realized without the Master's help, he would die. This may indicate that he walked far enough away from the boat that it was only Jesus who could save him. Because Jesus said, come, he knew Peter would come and walk with him, even though it was on water. He is not putting Peter into imminent danger. The lesson was about faith. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In Matthew 14:31, Jesus saves Peter, but reinforces that it takes faith to be of good cheer and not to be afraid. Matthew 14:31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The words, O thou of little faith, must have rung out to Peter. He had heard them at the time of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:30 and on the previous crossing of the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 8:26. Matthew 6:30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Matthew 8:26, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Lastly, we will look at the surprise ending. Jesus had orchestrated this whole experience as a lesson for his disciples. We will start with Mark 6:48. And he saw them toiling in rowing, and the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. The word would here is Strong's 2309, and it means to will or to purpose or aim or have in mind. The word pass by is Strong's 3928, and it means to move past a reference point or to go past. Jesus was not walking out to the boat, but was walking to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to the place the disciples were rowing to. When he tells Peter to come to him, he wants Peter to come walk with him to the shore where the others are rowing to. We do not know if Jesus brought about the contrary wind to test whether disciples would turn back to shore or wait till the wind ceased. But we do know that he sends them off on their own and waits until the fourth watch before he leaves to go to where their new destination is. He also decides to walk on the Sea of Galilee, which he knows will be disconcerting for his disciples. Even though Jesus was going to pass by the disciples, we do know that the lesson that was being given to them all can be seen in the book of Mark. Fear strikes them all in the boat when from their perception they see a spirit approaching them. You would think that after rowing these many hours in a contrary wind and waves, that might make them afraid, and that they might want to turn back and say, we'll wait till later. The approaching spirit is what causes the fear. So in Mark 6:52, we find out what the disciples should have learned, which should have alleviated the fear. Mark 6:52, one little sentence. For they had not learned the lesson taught by the loaves, but their minds were dull. The lesson that they missed went back to the feeding of the 5,000, just before they got into the boat. Remember in John 6, verses 5 and 7, how Jesus tested Philip by asking him where they would buy bread. Jesus took the loaves that they got, that they had received from a lad, and he looked up to heaven, and he blessed and broke them. This was done so that they would know that it was through the Father that Jesus did these miracles. They forgot that while passing out the food, their baskets continued to be filled so that the whole multitude could eat. Even after they had all eaten, there were still 12 baskets of remnants left. Just as Jesus had faith that he could feed the 5,000, they had to develop the same faith. Matthew 14:19. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. The lesson that the disciples needed to learn is that all things are possible for God, even the salvation of humanity. It would be their responsibility to feed the multitude of mankind, just as Jesus had given them the responsibility to go feed the 5,000. Mark 9:23, "And Jesus said unto them, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Mark 10:27, "And Jesus looking upon them said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." But the disciples' fear is not a unique response. It existed with the nation of Israel when Israel decided not to go into the promised land, as seen in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. It was because of their perception of the enemies in the land that they decide not to enter in. This is because they did not learn the lessons of the miracles done by Jehovah. Numbers 13:33, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight." Numbers 14:22 and 23, "Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened unto my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." In the King James translation of Mark 6:52, there is a phrase there that says that their heart was hardened. The word translated hardened is Strong's 44:56, which has the meaning of being unwilling to hear, or to be stubborn, or to grow hard or calloused, or to grow dull, to lose the power of understanding. In the New Testament, it is used with regards to the nation of Israel. Romans 11:7, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it. The rest were blinded." That's the word hardened. 2 Corinthians 3:14, "But their minds were blinded." Same word again. "For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." The lesson that all things are possible for God brings with it having faith in God. The lesson of hardening the heart would be one Jesus would reinforce with his disciples. It comes up again while they are on the Sea of Galilee and bread is the issue. Jesus reminds them of what they have experienced but not understood in Mark 8:17-21. "And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet? Neither understood? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember? And when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand?" In summary, we have looked at the account of Jesus walking on the water. We first looked at the events which led up to this, where the disciples see Jesus performing various miracles. And this culminates in the feeding of the 5,000. Next, we saw how Jesus sends his disciples out across the Sea of Galilee, having to row against contrary winds and waves. The weather conditions took a short distance and turned it into a trial of endurance. Then as they rowed, they became afraid because they saw a spirit approaching them. They were reassured by Jesus, and he told them, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." The two words, good cheer and afraid, emphasize the lesson that was taught to Peter as he walked on the water to join Jesus. Lastly, we looked at the surprise ending, which was Jesus had orchestrated in his crossing of them crossing the Sea of Galilee, the lesson that was meant for his disciples. First, Jesus decided to stay behind and pray as he sent his disciples across the sea. His intent was not to get into the boat with the disciples, but to walk past them to the other shore. He told Peter, "Come walk with me." But the lesson of fear and faith became the important lesson. It is because of this that Peter fell short. He told Peter, "Come walk with me." But Peter let the wind overcome him. But the lesson of fear and faith also was important for all his disciples. They all feared the Spirit they perceived approaching the boat. Disciples were to learn that all things are possible for God, even a man walking on water, even a man feeding 5,000 using only 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread. The lesson that fear came from was there was a hardening of the heart due to a lack of faith. And this was a valuable lesson. The disciples' lesson becomes our lesson. The Apostle Paul, using the nation of Israel as an example, warns us how that an unbelieving heart will turn away from God and will be left with its own perceptions and fears. Hebrews 3, verses 12 through 14, and this is from the Williams translation. "See to it, my brothers, that no wicked, unbelieving heart is found in any of you, and show by your turning away from the ever-living God. But day by day, as long as today shall last, continue to encourage one another, so that not one of you may be hardened by the sin's deceiving ways. For we have become real sharers in Christ, if we keep firm to the end the faith that we had at first." So the experiences which the disciples had were things that they were to remember and to use in their lives and eventually share with others. We are to do the same. "For we have come to understand the surprise ending of God that he has for all his creation." 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4 from the Phillips translation. "We are writing to you about something which has always existed, yet which we ourselves actually heard and saw with our own eyes, something which we had opportunity to observe closely and even to hold in our hands, something of the word of life. For it was life which appeared before us. We saw it, we were eyewitnesses of it, and are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you. We want you to be with us in this fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. We write and tell you about it so that our joy may be complete. Let me end with a poem that's entitled, Come Walk With Me. It is such a silly thing to ask. Lord, say to me to come, with wind tossed all around. It would not make sense for some. But I want to walk with Him. So asking this I do, and He says, come walk with me. So out the ship I flew. He says, let us walk to shore, and I will tell you God's truth. Side by side, talking joyfully, as though children in our youth. I must remember the lessons taught, for this will keep me free from all the burdens that would sink my true love for Thee. Walk we will unto the shore, and rejoice in the time well spent, for all things are possible through Him whom our Heavenly Father sent. Amen.